Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. This listener essay by Aliza Ansel is entitled Wrestling Johar. A quick warning before it begins. As the essay deals with the Boston Marathon bombing and its subsequent trial, it does contain a few descriptions of violence that may upset sensitive listeners.
It's 2015, and I'm training for my first marathon. The winter has been merciless, ripping winds, ice, relentless snowstorms. But like anyone training for a marathon, I'm out running. I need to log an extraordinary number of miles before my race. True, it's not the Boston Marathon, only the strongest qualify for Boston. But this season is far from ordinary. As I head out with my dogs, I'm aware the Boston Marathon bombing trial is taking place. As my feet hit the ground, Johar Tsarnaev sits facing his victims. As I run, I think about the guide dog rescue, walking beside Jessica Kensky as she wheels into the courtroom. Both of Jessica's legs were shredded in the explosion. I look down at my running shoes. I'm aware I have legs and Jessica doesn't. I think about rescue as Jessica tells her story. Rescue waits next to her while my dogs lumber beside me. I can't stop thinking about Johar. As I run alongside the river, I wonder what he's thinking while Jessica tells the jurors about the moment her body was ripped apart. I check my watch, 5.27 miles. I unzip my orange windbreaker. April 2013, when Boston was in lockdown, I feared for my family's safety. It was irrational. My parents live in Waltham, but the city was in lockdown. Boston has never been in lockdown. When Johar Tsarnaev was captured, I wanted him to die. I didn't care when I saw the image of him after his apprehension, his clothes soaked in blood, his thin frame reminding me that he was just a skinny teenager. I didn't care. He ripped apart runners. He blew apart my city. He does not deserve to live. On my runs, I can't push past 14 miles. I feel defeated. I lace up my running shoes and head outdoors. Today, the ice is melting. The dirt roads are a mess. I'm tired. I stayed up late watching Johar walk into Whole Foods, wander around, trying to figure out which type of milk to buy after blowing apart 260 people and killing three others. Johar waited 4 minutes before putting his backpack down, a backpack full of deadly explosives, the contents of which would blow apart a child's body. I clock 4 minutes. The whole time I'm running, Johar stood next to 8-year-old Martin. After the explosion, Martin's tiny abdomen was blown out of his body. I'm still running. I'm waiting for my watch to beep. It finally beeps. I stop dead in my tracks and burst into tears. I'm struggling with what it means to want Johar to die. I talk with my partner, Rick. I ask his feelings about capital punishment. He tells me he's against it. As Americans, we should be above capital punishment. But still, I want Johar to die. What does it mean to take a life, I argue with Rick. I don't want my tax dollars housing Johar. It costs $40,000 a year warehousing criminals. Rick tells me killing people costs more. I stay up late another night, reading the cost to execute a prisoner. During the manhunt for the Tsarnaev brothers, I was on the phone with my mother. We learned that Danny, a young man originally from China, was held hostage at gunpoint by Johar's brother Tamerlan and driven around the city. Stopping briefly at a gas station in Cambridge, mistakenly thinking they only accepted cash, Johar left the car. Tamerlan temporarily put the gun in a seat pocket to fiddle with the GPS. In a well-calculated decision, Danny fled across the street to another gas station. I know those gas stations. Everyone from Boston knows those gas stations. I ran over 14 miles today. It's not 20, but I stopped fighting the mileage. I stay up late again reading online debates regarding the death penalty. The people in favor of the death penalty are people I've never respected, with values I don't like. Eye for eye values. Killing terrorists makes the United States safe values. I stare at my computer screen. I find my answer. There in front of me are my two choices. I choose life. I tell Rick, "Do you feel better?" he asks. "Yeah." Not that it matters. It's a battle that raged inside my head. The outcome of the trial won't hinge on my battle either. It won't bring back souls ripped apart that day, but neither will Joe Har's execution. As the sun breaks through the barren tree branches, I put on my running shoes. I trot down the muddy, icy road. There's small pockets of warm air filled with blasts of cold. That's life, I think, a labyrinth, tangles of sunlight and horror, and it's our responsibility to sort through the mess.
Aliza Ansel lives in Cummington, Massachusetts with her partner and two huge dogs, Yo-Yo and Tashi. She is an avid trail runner and recently completed her second half marathon. When she retires, she hopes to travel the country writing nonfiction and poetry. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.